Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the OU's Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and Coordinator and Host for SPIRIT. SPIRIT started several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents, and seniors, everyone who's looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Since the beginning of the pandemic, SPIRIT continues to be an ideal way for everyone to connect and learn together in a virtual setting. Today, we are so happy to welcome back Bracha Rupp, LCSW, from OHEL Family and Children's Services to the SPIRIT Forum. Bracha will be presenting on life after COVID and how we overcome adversity and rebuild after trauma. It is my pleasure and honor to turn the SPIRIT Forum over to Bracha Rupp. Thank you everyone for joining us.
Hi everyone, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and listen to what I have to say. I will be presenting a slideshow, which will be hopefully posted by Rebecca Steinig on the website. So if you can't hear or you'd like to see slides afterwards, you can always reach out. I can also send them to you privately. Who am I? I am, like Rebecca Steinig said, I'm an LCSW. I'm a geriatric social worker. I've been working in the field for over 7 years now. I work specifically with Holocaust survivors and their second generation and their loved ones, but I also do work with anyone ages 60 and over. So if you have any questions throughout the slideshow, I can take questions at the end of it, as well as you can always reach out to me privately and I can always answer back, reach out through OHEL, and we're happy to help as much as we can. Okay. All right, so the topic of today is going to be a little bit of an interesting topic, and I'll explain to you exactly how it fits because it doesn't really sound like it will. So the first part of the presentation is life after COVID. You know, we just went through a very difficult time, not just as a community, as a country, but the whole world has been going through something that many of us haven't really seen in our lifetime. A total lockdown, loss of jobs, being afraid of our own shadow, being afraid of other people, not knowing what the future will hold for us, not knowing what safety, finances, everything's just up in the air. And I think that was a very difficult thing for most people. But then the next question is, now that we went through this and we such a difficult period, what next? How do we move forward, and not just move forward, but how do we take the lessons that we learned during COVID and use them to help us grow and help us have even a more successful and happier life than before? I'm going to bring in Holocaust survivors as the ultimate example of some people who went through a very, very, very difficult time in their life and how they managed to overcome this. And I'm not saying that they ever forgot it, but how are they able to take that difficult time in their life and move on and continue and go forward and build a life? And hopefully we're going to learn some lessons from them and be able to apply it to ourselves. So we are all recovering. This was a time, this past year, 2019, 2020 was a time in our life, I think, that was multifaceted. It attacked us in so many different ways. I mean, socially, we were affected. Financially, we were affected. Physically, many people were affected. Emotionally, psychologically, I mean, this really hit us in all different places. And we're still recovering. We're still trying to figure out what next, what now. So before we even get started, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the program that I work for and how we approach life, how we approach people. And there's a concept called PCTI, which is person-centered trauma-informed therapy. this whole presentation is that. So everything that we do, working one-on-one with people, working in a group with people, working in a community setting, it's always, we really try to gear to towards the person. And that means that I have to take everyone to account. And obviously, because there's so many people in this group and so many different types of people in this group, not everything I say will fit every single person. So as I'm talking, please try to take what I say. And if you think it applies to you, go with it, take it, run with it. But if you don't think it applies with you and you don't necessarily agree with it, doesn't mean it may not fit another person. So I'm really trying to be all encompassing over here and trying to be as general as possible so that it could apply to some things that I say could apply to at least some people. All right. So I understand 100% that everyone here has their own personality, their own unique needs, and not everything that I say will fit, but just try to take what I say and see how you can apply it to yourself. I also just wanted to let you know that our program is funded by the Jewish Federation of North America. They are so gracious and they give us completely free, they give us funding so that we can provide trainings. We provide free mental health counseling for all Holocaust survivors, as well as caregivers of Holocaust survivors, and even some second generation that may have, you know, trauma because of that. So if anyone out, you either yourselves or you know anyone out there who can use our services, please let us know, reach out to us, and we're going to be happy to help you. As well as I work for OHEL, and who does amazing work. So if anyone has any questions or knows of anybody who might need some services, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Okay, so why am I even talking about Holocaust survivors here? And the reason I bring them up is because Holocaust survivors are the ultimate survivors. They have gone through hell and back, and somehow they managed to create new generations, keep it going, create a life for themselves. And now again, not every single survivor has been able to overcome it and thrive, but a majority, I mean, the fact that a lot of us are here is because somehow they managed to overcome to some extent and keep going. And what I love about the term Holocaust survivors is we call them survivors. We don't call them Holocaust victims. We call them Holocaust survivors. And that's really how they identify themselves as. I survived. I went through something difficult and I survived. And I would love to be able to take that term and apply it to ourselves. We're not COVID victims. We're COVID survivors. We went through something very difficult and we survived. We came out the other end. We're not victimized because of it. We got through it and we're getting to the other end and we're going to continue going. So I really want to talk a little bit about what is a victim? What is a survivor? What's the difference between the two? And how do we know which category we're in? So I think very often we don't even realize when we're in a victim mindset. And it's an easier role short term. It's so easy to blame the world. It's so easy to say, and it's true, we didn't choose to have COVID happen to us. We didn't choose to be at home, stuck at home with not able to get out. We didn't choose to be afraid of getting sick or anything that happened to us. We didn't choose that. We would have had it work out very differently. So because of that, we can so easily say, it's not our fault. There's no, this just happened to us. It's not fair. It's true. It isn't fair. And it makes us feel very powerless. But a victim attitude would say, blaming others for the way our life is. We think life is against you. We have trouble coping with the problems in our life and we feel powerless. I didn't choose it. It's not fair. This is how my life was. Other people have it so much easier. And then you feel stuck. And you feel like I can't go forward and I have now what? And that makes it very difficult to make choices in life because everything, it just seems like you're always at the raw end of it. So a survivor is completely the opposite. Survivor is someone who says, I know that life is difficult and I didn't choose the situation, but I can choose how I react to it. So I can't choose others' actions. I can't choose what happens to me, but I can choose my reactions. I can choose how I choose to respond. And that's completely within my own grasp. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. How do we take our mindset from that victim of feeling like life isn't fair and like, which again is true. And things just happen to us and it's so hard and so difficult and we have it so bad and everything. And how do we change that to saying, okay, situation happened. It's tough. It sucks. But what can I do about the situation? So with my work, as I was thinking about this presentation and I had this idea, I started thinking a little bit about my work with survivors and what is something that I noticed about the ones that really made it in life. And I think I was able to define it into three things that I noticed within survivors that really helped them get ahead. And I'm going to use these three themes and expand on it and really see how we could apply it to ourselves. But the first thing I noticed about survivors is an inner strength. Any person you spoke to, whether it was my great-grandparents, my grandparents who went through the camp, they usually had some inner strength, some core belief that they believed and held to be true, so that despite the circumstances around them, they knew, they so believed in themselves and they so believed in their strengths that they were able to use that as like a, almost like a shield against the outside. The second thing I noticed about survivors is they usually live with a sense of mission. There's something there, there's something in their life, there's some reason that they are living that no matter how many things are getting them down, they are able to have a strength to keep going forward because of that mission, that long, their sight of like that goal at the end that keeps moving them forward. And the last thing that I noticed about really successful survivors is they use their past trauma to propel them forward and to help them thrive. And what I mean, and I'm going to just explore it a lot more in detail, but what I mean by that is saying that I went through this, I went through something so difficult that anything else in life is really not a big deal. Okay, so this happened to me. Okay, so this happened, but I know I went through this incredibly difficult thing. And if I went through this, then I can do anything. So I don't know if any of you know Tony Robbins. I think he's like a business coach, but he had a really good definition of what inner strength is, because I know we talk about it a lot. What is inner strength? Why you should have inner strength. You should be strong inside. What does it actually mean when we define it? And he had a really good definition. He said, inner strength is a deep, unstoppable belief in yourself. It doesn't depend on the actions of anyone else. It doesn't depend on your circumstances. So for example, you could have the whole world telling you, the sky is blue. Do you know that story? The king had no clothes or something, right? And everybody said, like the king wasn't wearing any clothes, and everybody just kind of at the end of the day believed that he had no clothing on because he said it so often. So inner strength would be saying everybody could tell you from today to tomorrow, the sky is pink, the sky is pink, the sky is pink, the sky is pink. And you believe and you know so strongly and you're so confident in yourself that no matter how many times people tell you the sky is pink, you're still going to believe the sky is blue. So meaning you believe you have a strength inside of you. You have such a deep belief that no matter how much somebody tells you, you're the worst, you're terrible, you're no good, you don't believe them. So the question really is, how do you get that inner strength? And the first question is, how do you gain inner strength? Second thing is, what if you had inner strength and you've gone through a trauma, or you've gone through something so hard that it just knocked you down and you lost that inner strength? What do you do then? How do you move on? So I'm going to answer that by a quote by Viktor Frankl. I'm not sure if anyone's heard of him, but he is a Holocaust survivor who became a very well-known psychologist after the war. And he explained inner strength as everything can be taken from a man or woman, but one thing. The last of freedoms to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. And really that's what it's all about is you have, what is inner strength? You have the freedom to choose your attitude, to choose how you will react to the situation. And that is the most powerful tool in the world, because if you realize how that power that you have, that no matter what anybody does to you or what nature or what anything in the world happens to you, at the end of the day, the choice is yours on how to react to that. And that is an extremely powerful way of thinking. All right, so how do we get there? Here's a couple of ways to develop inner strength if we don't have it, or even if we do, to reinforce it. So the first thing that I feel as a therapist working with other people is when you talk about inner strength, we really have to note the challenges of our past and present. So often when we go through something difficult, we tend to say, it's no big deal, or we deny it, or say, well, other people have it worse, or who am I to say anything? And I think that's a very harmful attitude, because when we pretend that our situation is easy or we pretend that it's not difficult, then we can't ever get past it. We're constantly harping on it. We're never giving ourselves enough credit to say, you know what? It is a hard situation that I'm in. It stinks. It's tough. This is really, really difficult for me. And this is really hard. And my life was hard in the past. My life is hard presently. There are things in the, that I wish didn't happen. And I wish it wasn't like that. And giving yourself that ability to just like validate yourself and instead of pretending that it's fine when it's not, that gets you to the first level, because at least you have the assurance to say, okay, it's hard. I'm here. And it's okay that I don't have to like it. But then the next step is acceptance. Once you realize, the first step is realizing I'm in a difficult situation. COVID was hard. I hate that I can't just walk out and go wherever I want. I hate that I can't see my family. I don't like not being afraid that like every day of getting sick. That's not a good feeling. Okay, the next thing is accepting it. Okay, now that I know that I don't like it, but there's nothing I could do about it. Or what can I do about it, right? So I can't change COVID. I can't change the fact that this happened to me. I can't change the fact that this person is sick. I can't change the fact that I'm on lockdown. Okay, but you accept it. You accept it. This is what happened. This is what it is. And now what, right? But if you don't even accept it, or you wish it didn't happen, you say it should be this way. It could be this way. If only I would do this, then you could never get any further. And there's I'm not sure how many of you know about Alcoholics Anonymous, but they have an amazing quote that I love. I think it's such a great way to live life. It's called the Serenity Prayer. And their quote, they say during every meeting, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So once we accept there are certain things that are out of our control. We cannot control who's president. We cannot control what, you know, the doctors are telling us to do, not to do. We cannot control what other people are going to say. If other people wear masks, if they don't wear masks, there's very little within that we can do. But then there's some things we can change. So once we know the difference between the two and the wisdom to know what we can and cannot change, you have peace of mind, because you're not harping on the things that there's nothing you could do about. And you're realizing, hey, this is in my control. And it gives you such a powerful feeling to say, okay, this is something that's not in my control. This is not anything I could do. And I accept that. But that doesn't mean I'm powerless, because this is what I can do. So maybe I'm stuck at home, but it doesn't mean there's nothing I can do at home. Maybe I can start taking on a hobby, or I could call my friends long distance, or I can start brushing up on my journalism, or I could start doing exercise. All of a sudden you start realizing the things that are in your control, and you're ahead of the game. Okay, so a couple more tips on creating, on strengthening your inner strength. First thing is, we have to take a self-image inventory. How do we feel about ourselves? We can go through our whole life not even realizing what we think about our very own self. Do we like ourselves? What traits do we know? Do we know our good traits? Do we know our bad traits? Are we in denial about it? And there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, this is something I have to work on. This is not my great trait. I tend to be short-tempered. I tend not to want to give. And then you also know your good traits. I'm a very giving person, or I'm very creative, or I'm super spontaneous. People really enjoy talking to me. Once you take an image and you know who you are, you know your strengths, you know your weaknesses, then you got to make a list of your positive qualities, all the things about you that are good, you like about yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not, you're not being like having a big ego by saying all the good things about yourself. It's just, you're just making yourself realize what your strengths are. And that will help you go further in life, right? And then confront your thinking distortion. So very often we think about ourselves, or the way we tend to spiral out of control. We start thinking, oh my gosh, I had a bad day at work. I've had a bad day at work. Then my boss is going to fire me. My boss fires me, then my wife is going to think that I'm a loser. Then we're going to get divorced. And then I'm going to end up living alone. And then I'm going to be just a sad, depressed person. Then there's no point. No, you just had a bad day at work, right? So we have to confront our thinking distortions and realize when we start spiraling out of control, or realize when our brain starts thinking things that really aren't true. And we can stop ourselves and say, hold on a second. Is that true? Is this false? Who says that's true? Just because you think this doesn't mean that. And that's a lot of things that you work on in therapy. So if you ever feel like this is something that you tend to do a lot, there's plenty of therapists out there that can help you work through that. Okay, refrain from comparing yourself to others. And I think that's what we spoke about a little bit when we said recognizing our challenges. Sometimes we say, oh, other people the other person is also divorced and they're already remarried. Or this person was in the same grade as me and they're already a millionaire. I must be a loser. No, you cannot compare yourself to them. They don't have the challenges that you have. They don't have the history that you have. They don't have the personality that you have. They don't have the life circumstances that you have. So comparing yourself to others and then putting yourself down, it's really not fair to yourself. And it's just not, it's not reality. And it's a great way to take away your inner strength. It's a great way to make you feel lower than yourself. Giving yourself, learning to love yourself. That is a really important one. It's very hard to not let other people sway you or to have inner strength when you don't really like yourself, who you are. And what I mean love. Do you love who you are? Do you love your good and your bad? You don't have to be a perfect human being. You can have flaws and you can love yourself despite the flaws and know these are things you have to work on, and that's okay. Give yourself positive affirmations. Sometimes you just need to tell yourself, you know, it was a hard day, I'll do better tomorrow. Or I'm a strong person, I'm a good person, I care deeply. Telling yourself statements that will give you the strength to make those decisions despite other people, despite the other circumstances. Remembering that you are unique. You're an individual, you have your own circumstances, your own life, and nobody else in the world can really judge you for it. And that's why nobody really can tell you what to do. And I think that as a therapist, a lot of people come to me and they say, tell me what to do. And I can't tell them what to do because they're the expert in their own lives. And I don't know what's best for them. They know what's best for them. And the last thing that's just so important is remember how far you come. So many times we have expectations for ourselves and we think I should be doing this, or I could be doing this, or I'm beating yourself up for that. In reality, look how far you've come. Look where you were and look where you are now and look how much progress you've made. And yes, you can always be a better person. You can always be a stronger person. You always be a smarter person. But look at the advancements you've made in your life. Look how the choices you've made. Look at where you come from. Every person if you could look back, has some things that you could be really proud of. All right. The next theme that we're going to talk about is living with a sense of mission. And I think this is so important. Viktor Frankl, who we quoted again before, he said, those who have a why to live can bear with almost anyhow. If you have a reason to move forward, then it doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter why, it doesn't matter what's happening to you. You know why you're living. And every person can have a different reason. That's okay. So Viktor Frankl, actually, in his book, A Man's Search for Meaning, he explains what got him through the war. He had written a manuscript about psychotherapy called Logotherapy. That was his own unique perspective on psychology. And he had a manuscript that he took with him through Auschwitz, and he kept it the entire time through Auschwitz. And he knew he had to live through the camps, through the ghetto, through everything, because he needed to get this manuscript published because he felt it was important for humanity. And that's what kept him going. And every person has a different reason. One person may have, they want to have a great attitude to say, come on, Hitler. She wanted to live because she wanted to prove Hitler wrong. She wanted, some people just wanted to repopulate Judaism, the Jewish people. Some people wanted to actually show that Judaism would continue no matter what. Some people wanted to, they made a promise to their parents that they would continue living. Some said that they wanted to make it a success of themselves to prove others wrong, whatever it is, or to better the world. Any reason that you have to live, that is a sense of mission. So again, what does having a sense of mission mean? It means having a purpose. It means having a reason. It means having a why. And every person is, that's an individual reason. And it's so important to think about, because that will get you through hard times. That end result, the end goal, the reason why you keep slugging along no matter how hard life is. What is your mission? Is it your kids? Is it to better the world? Is it to own a successful pizzeria? It doesn't really matter. It's just that idea of having a purpose. All right. So here's, here, let me see if I can pause it. There's this person, her name is Dr. Edith Agar. She is a Holocaust survivor who went through the war. She was a ballerina, I believe, before the war, and that's what kept her alive. She wrote some amazing books on her experience in the Holocaust and on overcoming trauma. She ended up becoming a psychologist after the war. And I really like this clip about her, is because she basically explains my entire presentation. She talks about having a sense of mission. She talks about having inner strength, and that's what got her through the war. And she also talks about using adversity to overcome trauma and to keep going.
In 1944, Edith Eva Egger was a Hungarian teenager living in Nazi-occupied Europe. That spring, Edith and her family were sent far away to a concentration camp called Auschwitz. Her parents would lose their lives, but Edith survived, barely. On the day of liberation, an American soldier noticed a hand moving in a pile of bodies. Edith would live to become a mother, teacher, and world-renowned PTSD expert.
I stood in line to get my tattoo in December 1944. I was told they don't want to waste the ink on me. I'm going to the gas chamber. And on the way to the gas chamber, my sister was in one pile, I was in the other pile, and I knew we have to be together. So I did a lot of cartwheels to entertain the guards. The survivors have to be quick decision makers. We didn't have time to ask, why me, why me? The question is, what now? They could have thrown me in a gas chamber any minute. They beat me. They tortured us. We never knew what's going to happen next. We never knew whether gas is going to come out when we take a shower or water. Now, this is the difference between stress and distress. But even though I was told I'm never going to get out of here alive, and I heard it every day, I never allowed them to murder my spirit. There is no forgiveness without the rage. It's okay to shake your fist. But not until I began to work with Vietnam veterans, and I had two paraplegics, and one of them was in a fetal position. Why me? Why me? Why America? And just cursing God, country, you name it. Conversely, the other one said to me, hey, Doc, I feel so grateful that God gave me a second chance, and I'm sitting in a wheelchair, and I can see my children's eyes much closer. Resilience means that you slip and climb, but you never stop climbing. I have yet to arrive. I'm still in the process of becoming, hopefully, the person who's not asking what the world can give me. And I know I was very suicidal after I was liberated. When I was in a hospital and I had five kinds of typhoid fever and they were going to amputate my legs, and I realized that my parents are not coming back, I wanted to die. I didn't have anything to get up for. Not just getting up, but what for? No meaning in my life, none. And I'm so glad I didn't act upon it. I wouldn't be here with you today. And I think I decided then that I'm gonna be for something. And to be part of the healing journey of others, it's not a job. It's your commitment. It's your life's work.
So, I mean, over here, you can clearly see, you know, how she explains her inner strength. Everyone kept telling her, you're going to die in the camps. And she wouldn't let them tell her that. She didn't believe it. She wouldn't believe it. And that's what we're talking about, inner strength. We're talking about the sense of mission, how she chose that she's going to be part of the healing journey. That's that sense of mission that kept her going. And let me have to see how I can get out of this. Here we go. All right. So to have a mission means committing to certain values and living by them. The choices we make and one's commitment to their mission builds us. Through our choices, one may come to see courage and strength they have never known about. And this is so often what happens when we go through something so difficult. It actually makes us a stronger person, and we see the things that we never thought we were capable of doing. We never thought that we would be able to do what we did, and that makes us a stronger, better person. And I think that's what happened during COVID for a lot of us. We never thought that we'd be able to, how important our children were, and all, or our families were, or our freedom was, or our health. And it really put things into perspective. And through that, we're able to make choices and maintain them, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. So how do we have meaning? How do we find a sense of mission? So here's a couple of ideas to think about. The first is reassess personal values. Are they the same now as they were before? And again, maybe I feel like COVID stripped us away of everything we ever knew. It stripped us away of everything, our routine, everything we did by rote our whole life, going to work, back and forth, going to the same center, back and forth, doing the same phone calls every single day, going shopping. Our routine that we did every single day, it stopped. It stripped us of that. And it made us rethink every part of our life. And now we had to reevaluate. Do we want those things again? Do we want something different? I mean, I just saw a statistic that said how many new entrepreneurs there were during COVID compared to before. All of a sudden, people stopped working or started working remotely, and they had time, and they stopped. They started new businesses. They realized this wasn't what they ever really wanted to do. Or people were forced to stay home with their kids, and they never had that opportunity before. And they realized, hey, I really like this. You know, I love being home with my kids. Or they're forced to be away from their children. And all of a sudden they say, wow, you know, I never took it for granted that my children were able to stop by and say hello whenever they wanted. This is very important to me. What gives you meaning? What all of a sudden you had to stop and think about it. Everything that your life was is no longer. And now what? What did make you happy during these times? Was it exercising? Was it making yummy food for yourself? Was it making phone calls to people who are sick and alone? What gave you meaning? And now we have to figure out things that made you feel good, things that made you happy during those times. Can we take those and translate them into behaviors? Now that we know we really enjoyed, let's say, being with our children, which we didn't know were so important before, or we really enjoyed, we were really concerned about other people who are living alone. Let's translate into behavior and make maybe start an organization or start a list of people who are alone and start calling them every week. But that's the next step, is once you realize something's important to you, don't just sit on those and say, okay, it's important to me, but now what? What are you going to do about those things that are important? And a way to do that is write lists with long-term goals and short-term goals with the meaning at the end, right? Your value, behavior that will translate them, and short-term goal behaviors that will end up. So for example, I'll give you a silly thing, right? Let's say you realize, hey, I actually don't like working for a boss. I tried making pizza at home and I actually really loved it. And now I have customers that people like it. So my goal is to have a pizzeria home at home. And now you're going to do, what do I need to do to get there? well, I have to start practicing and making a menu, and I have to start writing it down. That my long-term goal would be making, selling 100 pizzas a year or something. But again, it's turning to practicality, because if we just do nothing about it, it's going to go right back to the way it was, and we'll completely forget about the whole thing that of the year 2020, 2021. Okay. And now I think this is a really big part to this, which is using trauma to propel us forward and thrive, turning our stumbling blocks into stepping stones. I had a Holocaust survivor. When I was a kid, I used to belong to a shul, to a synagogue full of Holocaust survivors. And my birthday is Erev Yom Kippur. It was the day before Yom Kippur. I was 12 years old. The day after my birthday, I had to fast, and I was very upset about it. And I was sitting there in shul, and I was hungry, and I was starving, and I was bored, and everything was taking forever. And I just remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I can't. And then I see all these old people behind me just fasting and praying, and I couldn't understand it. And I remember turning around to one of the Holocaust survivors behind me, and I said, how are you doing this? You're old, you're sick. This should be so difficult for you. Like, how are you able to just stand up and pray? And she didn't sit down for the entire time. And she said, honey, I was in a cattle car for 7 days without food. Fasting for 24 hours, no big deal. And I those words stay in my head, because that really is exactly what I'm talking about, using past trauma. You go through that. Fasting one day is no big deal. So the same thing with COVID. If we went through an entire year of lockdown, what's one rainy day being stuck at home? It's nothing, right? If we go through, I mean, remember when we didn't have eggs? Okay, eggs are expensive now, but there was a time where we didn't think we could ever get eggs, right? Or Lysol wipes or anything like that. Once we have a perspective, we realize what it could be and what it was, and we lived through that, and we not just lived through that, we survived and we thrived, then anything else in the future is really not that intimidating. We can get through it. Okay, so this is a very interesting concept, which I'm going to just talk about in very short, because it's a little bit of a complicated idea, but there's something called post-traumatic growth, which means you grow from trauma. You don't just get through trauma, but you grow and you become a stronger, better person. And has anybody heard the term resilience? Right? Resilience is what? So what is resilience, and how does that relate to post-traumatic growth? So it's very interesting, but they're actually two different terms. Resilience means getting through it. You're getting through it and you bounce back. It doesn't even faze you. I'd say you walk down the street, you get hit by a car, it doesn't really hurt you, and you just get up and walk away. That's resilience. You're the same as who you are. You made it through the other end and really didn't impact you at all. That's not the same thing as post-traumatic growth, which means one person walks down the street and she gets hit by a car. She doesn't get hurt, but she's really shooken up. Wow, she's scared and she's, oh my gosh, now she passes, every time she sees a car, she gets panic attacks, and it takes a lot of deep, hard work and soul searching to get through the other end and not be, this person is going to be a stronger person than that person who was resilient. That person may have not been impacted, but she didn't get changed by that car accident either. And post-traumatic growth means when you get shooken up, when it really shakes you to your core and you're frightened and it's difficult for you and it's a hard work and you're scared and you have to do a lot of deep soul searching to get through the other end, at the end of the day, you're a stronger, better person because of it. So when we think about trauma, I think our goal is always, I want to be back to what I was. I want to just forget about it. When I go through something difficult, I just want to pretend it never happened. I want to pretend COVID never happened. I just want to get back to normal life. I think that it's almost a shame when we think like that, we're missing out. We're missing out on something so big. We don't want to go back to what life was. We want to become a better person because of what we went through. So to say, I want to pretend that it never happened, what a shame. You're missing out on that growth opportunity, right? Post-traumatic growth doesn't mean forgetting the painful memories or becoming entirely free of it. It means I am who I am because of the challenges I went through. I am a better, stronger person, right? When you go through something difficult and you're now more sensitive because of it, it's not something to be embarrassed of. Oh, my family was abusive, or this is specifically when I'm saying challenges happen to you, right? When challenges happen to you, and it's nothing to be embarrassed of. I had a sick child, or I don't have any money, or my family's dysfunctional. It's pretending that it's not there, that you should be proud of it, because other people who didn't go through it are not as strong in that area. Maybe they're not as sensitive or not aware, or they're not capable of getting through it again because you already did this, right? So my challenges and my grief and my experience, it's part of who I am. It makes me who I am. Don't pretend that it's not there. It's something to embrace, something to wear with pride. And I'm going to leave off with a way of really assessing how much you've grown from this experience, how much you've changed because of this. So there's something called the post-traumatic growth inventory. It is an evidence-based, an analytic questionnaire. So psychologists use this a lot when they try to see if somebody came through trauma and they grew from it. It's an actual thing that they use, and it's called the post-traumatic growth inventory. And they look at five different categories when assessing a person to see if they came out of trauma the other way. And these are five categories, and it's really helpful for us to look at and say, did we gain in any of these areas? How do we keep it? And if we didn't gain, how can we gain from it, right? So the first is appreciation for life. I mean, come on, COVID, that's the number one thing. How many people passed away from this? How many people got sick from it? How many people, even if we didn't, I'm sure we were touched by it, right? The sound of those ambulances, the fear of not making it, the fear of getting sick, the fear of other people getting sick, being stuck at home. Do we have a different appreciation for life? Are we able to just walk outside now for free? We're able to not feel worried about getting sick. I mean, that's a huge appreciation for life. How do we keep that going? The second is relationship with others, right? We were forced to stay away from people. Do we appreciate that more? How do we keep that going? New possibilities in life, right? When we were stripped from our everyday routine, all of a sudden our eyes were open to so many other possibilities we never had the opportunity to do because we were so busy with like mundane things. Personal strength. Did we realize how strong we were? We had to have a Pesach Seder by ourselves. We never thought we could do that. We did it. That shows strength in us we never knew we had. And spiritual change. A lot of people became a lot more spiritual from this. And how do we keep that going? How do we realize that we are stronger? Personally, spiritually, we view the world differently. So take these five things, look through it, see what you think you've changed because of the difficulties. I'm talking about COVID, but you can use that through anything in your life. And do you have more of this appreciation? Or if not, how can you look back at your challenges in life and use that to help you grow through the challenges of your life? And that's really the question I'm going to leave you all with. And it's an answer that's going to be very individual, is how do we maintain the growth process? Having gone through something difficult, how do we come out the other end? And how do we come out stronger and better person because of it? If anybody has any questions for me, feel free to send me a question in the chat box, and I'm happy to answer it as to the best of my abilities. Somebody did send the question, can we get copies of the slides? Absolutely. Representative Steinberg has this. I will be sending her the slides. I think she will post it on the video, but I'm happy to send her the slides as well. And she can send it to anyone who wants. Is that okay, Representative Steinberg?
Yes, we'll be sending the recording out later today, but if you want to send me the PowerPoint that we can attach to it, that might be helpful to people as well. So we're happy to include that.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing for myself any questions in the chat. I don't know, or if there is anything, please put it in right now. Russell, was anything sent to you directly besides that?
No, nothing else was sent directly. I just wanted also to let everyone else know, I have one more slide, which is that we are starting a new round of Caregivers for Holocaust Survivors support group. We have a wonderful support group where we have other individuals who are also caregiving for survivors. We teach them skills and tools. We create a really wonderful, supportive environment. So if anyone knows of anyone who's a caregiver of a Holocaust survivor, or if you yourself are one, feel free to reach out to us, and we are happy to talk to you and see if you're a good fit for our program. Somebody also sent a question, distinguish between those who had COVID and those who did not. By that, you mean in terms of growing? If somebody had COVID, they'd be more traumatized than those who didn't? Is that the question? I'm not sure. Yes. Okay. So I think, honestly, I when we spoke about resilience versus post-traumatic growth, I don't think that it's the circumstance that traumatizes a person. I think it's the person's personality and response to the circumstance. So I think some people are just as traumatized from just experiencing COVID, even if they didn't have it or even if they didn't have it bad. And some people who had it just kind of brushed it off and continued on. So I really feel like when we talk about trauma and we talk about any difficulties in life, I think that we have to really recognize ourselves and recognize our personality and realize, how do we respond to circumstances? And did this specific one traumatize us, or did it not traumatize us, or did it not faze us, and can we move on? I think it's a shame if anyone doesn't take this opportunity and let it help them flourish and blossom. But it doesn't mean that you really got affected to the extent that some people who even didn't have COVID got affected. I'm hoping I answered that correctly. I'm not sure if I did or not, because I didn't fully understand the question. I just wanted to let you know, so the ongoing support group for this Holocaust Survivor Support Group for Caregivers is resuming July 28th, and we're starting to recruit for a new support group in the morning and the evening starting August 24th. So if anyone knows of anyone or is curious and wants to know more, feel free to reach out. I will give you my email address, and I'm going to give you the other direct supervisor of the program. My email address is Bracha, B-R-A-C-H-A underscore R-U-P as in Peter, P as in Peter, at ohelfamily.org. And the other supervisor, her name is Rena Appel Shane Holtz. I don't have her email address here.
So. Wait, Bracha, can I just interrupt? Sure. It would be very helpful if you just want to email after we finish. The program, if you can send me any of the information, we will be very happy to send it out with the recording, so it'll be
I think that would be a lot clearer. Okay, yeah. So anybody who has any questions for me or Rena or Representative Steinig, I will send out my contact information, the flyer, the slideshow, and you can all reach out directly to me or to Representative Steinig, and we're happy to take any phone calls or any questions that anyone has.
Super. We thank you so much for giving us so many strategies, so much information that has really been weighing on us for way too long. But I think we really learned so much. I want to also really mention the wonderful relationship that both the Orthodox Union and I personally have with Ohel. I've worked with so many of Bracha's colleagues over the years on programs online and on site, way back when we used to do that. And it's always been such a wonderful relationship. We're just happy that Bracha has joined the family, and now we can depend on her for programming. So thank you so much, Bracha. Please relay to all of your colleagues how much I enjoy working with them. So anyway.
Well, and thank you for the opportunity. It was a pleasure as always.
Okay. So I just want to share with everybody, I had mentioned last time, for the foreseeable future, Spirit will be once a week, of course, Tuesday mornings, as you saw today, sometime live like we did today, and also sometimes pre-recorded. You'll know in advance the registration when it's been pre-recorded is different, and you always get the link to the program by 11 o'clock in the morning, some usually pretty much earlier than that. But each time you will, in your registration, you'll see which one it is. If it's a Zoom registration, then it's live. And of course, you'll get a recording afterwards. Next week's program, you will hear about within the next couple of days. So I'm not going to share it now, but I just want to wish everybody a wonderful day, a good week. I'll wish you a good Shabbos in advance. And thank you again, Bracha, for such a wonderful presentation. Take care, everybody. Yeah, be safe and be happy.